Let us read to this responsively, then I shall begin. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem, by the sheep market, a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity, 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day, it is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed, and walk. Then asked they him, What man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed, and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was. For Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple, and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. The man departed, and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus, and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. God surely bless us in the reading and meditation of his holy word. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Almighty God, our Father in heaven, we pray for thy Holy Spirit to teach us thy truth, thy lesson out of thy word. And we pray that thou wouldst help us to be doers of thy word. Through Jesus Christ, our precious Lord, we pray. Amen. Now before this chapter, in chapter 4, our Lord Jesus Christ was in Galilee. And we all know that from the map of Israel, Galilee is towards the north and Jerusalem is towards the south. And in chapter 5, it started off by saying that after this, after those things that were done in Galilee, there was a feast of the Jews, and there was indeed a feast, and the Lord Jesus Christ came to that feast, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Jerusalem is at a higher plane, and therefore when the Lord Jesus Christ walked towards Jerusalem, it's going up to Jerusalem. So the Lord Jesus Christ went up there, and being God, fully man, he was there not only for the feast, but he was there for a purpose. And there are many purposes and that he has to accomplish that the disciples may not know of. Now verse 2, Now there is at Jerusalem, by the sheep market, a pool. That pool has been there for some time, and that pool has a name, which is called in the Hebrew tongue, Bethesda. And Bethesda basically means house of mercy. And in that particular place, in the house of mercy, in Bethesda, the pool, there are many people gathered around there. Must be a multitude, as because it was mentioned in the scriptures for us that it was a multitude. And there were so many people over there, not only in the marketplace buying and selling, and most likely by the sheep market, which means that the sheep were probably brought as sacrifice in the temple. And so they had to go through that gate, through that area. And not only was it famous as a sheep market, but that particular pool, Bethesda, it's pretty famous amongst many people over there, especially those who are ill, because it is a pool of mercy. And it is also thought of being drowned with superstition, that if there is a movement in that pool, they would imagine that it was the angel that came down and stirred up the water. And they would think that it is something miraculous. It is something good. And it is something that will bless those people who are ill. And anybody who are ill and going there first will be healed. So verse 3, in these lay a great multitude of impotent folk. And no wonder, in this particular pool in Bethesda. And there are so many people waiting to be healed. Now, if a person is ill, he would want to be healed. And if a person is ill for a day, he may endure it. Ill for a week, he couldn't take it. And ill for a month, it'll be disastrous. Ill for a year, it's like I've lost hope. And ill for many, many years. It is really a situation whereby the person who is ill almost would have given up hope. And there are many, many of them there, impotent folk that is ill, and they could not help themselves. They were sick people. And what kind of sick people were there? There were the blind people. There were the halt, those who are lame, and those who are withered, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. So if the water were to move, you would imagine that those who could walk, at least, who were a bit mobile, would have probably just crawled over there and be the first one to get into the pool. And they had the superstition that they might be healed. And so many of them were there. And probably their loved ones would have brought them there, waiting for the time that the pool might be stirred, might have some movements. And if the loved ones would have placed them there, the loved ones may have accompanied them, or the loved ones may have moved on to do their own job, their own work, and probably come back in the later part of the day to collect them. So there could be all kinds of people. And that is in verse 3. It's not only a multitude. It's a great multitude. There were so many people. So many of these ill people. Desperate. And maybe these are the people who have tried all kinds of cures. Doctors, physicians, own self-medication, all just couldn't get rid of their illness. And they come and they are asking for a miracle. And they want that miracle, and they thought that it might be in the Bethesda pool. And that was their own imagination, and that was their own folklore, that was their own fairy tale, and that was their own way of thinking. And many, many people would have thought that way, and so that's why it became quite popular place, a popular pool. And verse 4, for they believed in this particular superstition, for an angel went down, as it were, at a certain season for the pool and troubled the water. Now, sometimes in a pool where there is natural spring, there could be bubbling of water because the movement of spring and bubbles of air or some kind of movement of the water from the spring. But for the people around there, they took it as, wow, it is an angel coming and we are so ill and this is a time that we should just plunge ourselves in there and be cured of our illness. So the superstition even said that whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. So verse 5, and a certain man was there.
So the Bible mentioned that there was a certain man there. The Lord Jesus Christ went up to Jerusalem for a feast. And the Bible mentioned that there is a certain man was there. It is a situation whereby God had planned, had permitted, in such a way that that particular man was there. And that man was probably there many days. And as we mentioned just now, probably would have brought by the loved one and let him be there. And this particular man, which had an infirmity, and this kind of infirmity, probably he was those that are withered, paralyzed. Just couldn't move. He could see that there was a pool there, the Bethesda pool, and he couldn't move. He was paralyzed. And how many years was he paralyzed? 38 years. Just now we said that if it were to be a person is ill for 1 year and still try all ways and means and still not healed, the person will be very, very tired, very anxious, and probably lost all hope. Lost all hope in physician, lost all hope in self-medication, lost all hope in any other kind of folklore medicine. And coming to the Bethesda pool would be his probably only chance in his life. And he was so infirmed that he was just laid there. And who brought him there? There must be someone who brought him there. Certainly he couldn't move himself there. If he could move himself there, he would be probably going into the pool, but he couldn't. So his loved ones or the carers, the caregivers, would have brought him there. And whatever that thing was, whether it was a mat or whether it was just something like those which you carry, where the ambulance would have carried you in, and that was his bed. And the Bible has correctly stated for us that it was his bed. Whatever it was his bed. I mean, your bed may be different from his bed, but it was his bed. So a certain man was there and with infirmity, 38 years. And certainly this infirmity was incurable. And verse 6, when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, in that condition. You see, when the Bible mentioned a verse like this, we know that, number one, the certain man was there for a purpose, and it is not by chance that the Lord Jesus Christ met this man. And the Lord Jesus Christ even knew this, knew how this man had suffered, and knew how that he had suffered a long time, 38 years. And that certainly was even before the Lord Jesus Christ was born of Mary. 38 years, a long time. By this we can see the amazing grace of God. Why? Because there were so many people in that area, Bethesda pool, so many, great multitude. Yet the Lord Jesus Christ went to this certain man. There are many, many people on earth, yet the Lord Jesus Christ went to you and me and save us from our sins. And this man is about to receive that great blessing from the Creator of the heavens and the earth. But this man may not know who the Lord Jesus Christ was. And so, verse 6, and the Lord Jesus Christ said unto him, wilt thou be made whole? This man has been struggling there, paralyzed, and he was in this situation for 38 years. If a person were to ask him, wilt thou be made whole? And if he would know, if he knew that it was the Lord Jesus Christ, if he knew that he was God Almighty, We do not know what kind of answer he might give. But in this particular sense, in this particular case, that impotent man, that sick man, that paralyzed man, answered him, "Sir," very politely, respectfully, "Sir," instead of saying, "Yes, I want to be healed," this man gave his own version of trying to be healed. And this man's version has not been helping him all these years. And yet, he rehearsed and uttered that way of getting healed. He says, "Sir, I have no man. I have no friends here. No friends at all. The caregiver was not even there. And so when the water is troubled, no man to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Even if he had to crawl over there, he will not be the first one." He said, "How can I be healed? Wilt thou be made whole?" Instead of answering, "Yes, I want to be made whole," this man came up with his own concoction of wanting to be healed and wanting to be made whole. Many a time, when others shared the gospel with us, I don't know about you, but so far as I'm concerned, when my cousins and my friends shared the gospel with me, I would end up debating with them. And debating with them as if I have a way to be able to go to heaven. And that was my way. And I thought that my way was correct. And therefore, I'll debate till the end of day. But of course, when the Lord touched my heart, that irresistible grace, that irresistible, amazing grace of God, then I had to give in and say, "God, Lord Jesus, you are my Savior, you are my Lord, and I want to be made whole. I want to be cleansed of all my sins. I want to be able to go to heaven. I want to have all my sins forgiven." But this man was still talking to the Lord Jesus Christ about his own way. He wanted to go to the pool. So the Lord Jesus Christ heard it, heard this man's concoction of how to be healed, and know that that's not the way. You've been here for so long, and 38 years, and even your caregivers just almost gave up on you and just brought you here and knew that you could not even climb over to the pool, the first person to climb onto the pool, just left you there. And yet, you still want your own concoction of being made whole. So what did the Lord Jesus Christ say in verse 8? Jesus saith unto him, "Rise, take up thy bed, and walk." Wow. This man said that he had no man. He had no friend. And here, seemingly a stranger, what a friend we have in Jesus. He cares for us. He cares for this man. He cared for this certain infirmed man. And say, "Rise, take up thy bed, and walk." This man, having just rehearsed to the Lord Jesus about his own concoction of the way that he might be healed, and what did he do? In verse 9, "And immediately the man was made whole." He realized that, oh, wow, his legs have got strength. His spine has got strength. And after 38 years, he immediately was made whole. Immediately was made well. And the moment he was made well, he stood up, he took up his bed, and that was the bed that he had, and that was the kind of bed that he was in for the 38 years, and walked. What a great miracle. Fantastic. If the other people who would have known this man would have seen him rise, take up his bed, and walked, it would be such a great applause. It would be such a great commotion. But on that same day was the Sabbath. There were people looking around to catch those people who seemingly break the Sabbath. The Lord Jesus Christ taught in his word that he is Lord of the Sabbath. And Sabbath was made for man and not man for Sabbath. And Sabbath is a time that we do good. And it's a time that we worship God. And the Lord Jesus Christ has just done a marvelous good work. And this man rose up, take up his bed and walk. And what happened? The Jews, who were like the religious policemen in those times, the Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, instead of saying, wow, what fantastic miracle, we praise the Lord, and should go to the temple and let us give thanks and tell the priests. These Jews said, it is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. It's like, excuse me, this man was paralyzed, infirmed for 38 years. It's not as if nobody knew him. He must be there waiting for that stirring of the pool. And many people would have seen him. And now he has taken up his bed and rose up and took up his bed and walked. And the only words that came from these religious policemen, these Jews, are saying that it is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. They have completely missed the mark and wanting to pick on this man because he was carrying his bed. That you are working. You should not be carrying a bed. And therefore, he will have to be punished. So this man was so afraid. This infirmed man, verse 11, was so afraid. He answered them, well, oh dear, I mean, straight away you just pounce on me and say that, why do I take up my bed on the Sabbath day? He that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. And therefore I took up my bed and walk. Is that a great sin? Verse 12. Then asked they him, what man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk? Because these people, they were trying to hunt down the Lord Jesus Christ. And when they saw a miracle, well, this man claimed that it was a miracle. He was able to rise up and take up his bed and walk. The Jews, the religious policemen, who was that? What man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk? And verse 13, and he that was healed wist not, did not know who it was. He did not even know that that person whom he called Sir was the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't know. Why? For Jesus had conveyed himself away. For the Lord Jesus Christ has withdrawn himself away from the crowd, a multitude being in that place. The Lord Jesus Christ wanted to do this and bless this infirmed man. And that's about it. And wanting to heal him. God has his own ways. Some of us have been praying, and we are in a prayer meeting, and we've been praying for certain of our friends, our loved ones, or even we ourselves, for a particular infirmity in our lives, whether it is illness or a particular situation, a difficult challenge in our lives, for it to be healed, for it to be taken away, for us to be delivered from that situation. But God has his way. God has his timing. God, in his amazing grace, will touch in his own way. And yes, this man had received that blessing from God. And afterward, verse 14, Jesus findeth him in the temple. The Lord Jesus Christ was in the temple. And he found this man went to the temple. Why would this man go to the temple? After he was healed, he knew the teaching that if he were to be healed, he should go to the temple and praise God and thank God and worship God, because he didn't know who that person was, but he knew that at the end of the day, he wanted to thank God. And the Lord Jesus Christ found him and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. He said, Behold, hello, the certain man, you are made whole. Sin no more. So these words from the Lord Jesus Christ would have given us a clue, probably this man's infirmity, being paralyzed, was because of his sin. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, Sin no more. Thou art made whole now. Sin no more. Lest a worse thing come unto thee. Whatever that worst thing might be, and the worst thing of all would be if he did not come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, the worst thing would be hellfire. Lest a worse thing come unto thee. So now that you're in the temple and you've been made whole, sin no more. Which means that repent. Repent and come to give thanks to God. And the man departed. Now the man knew that this person who healed him was that famous Lord Jesus Christ. And the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus. Why he told the Jews, we do not know. Some people may say that, oh, this man tell the Jews to like gossip. But he told the Jews that it was Jesus which has made him whole, because the Jews asked him that question, and therefore now he is going back to that religious leaders or religious policemen to say that the person who has actually healed me, now I know. I went to the temple to thank God, and wow, that man was the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was his happy day. And you can imagine that when he went home, his loved ones will be so happy, his caregiver will be astounded, and he himself could not believe that this was true, that he actually rose up, take up his bed and walk, and what a happy day it must be. And more importantly, if he believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, all his sins would have been forgiven. And the Lord Jesus Christ asked him to go for true repentance, lest a worse thing might come unto thee. And verse 16, and what did the Jews do? Were the Jews happy to know that, whoa, this is the Lord Jesus Christ, this is Jesus whom they were looking for, they were hunting for, and now the Lord Jesus is in the city in Jerusalem? And what did they do? And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him. You can imagine the evil mind of the Jews, evil mind of the religious leaders. And what did the Lord Jesus do? To deserve them to slay and kill him and punish him and persecute him because he had done these things, the good things, the miracle of healing that man of 38 years infirmed, for he had done these things on the Sabbath day. So if our Lord Jesus Christ is going to be persecuted and hunted down by the evil man, just realize that we too, the unsaved world, will never understand what we do for the Lord. We'll never understand our salvation. We'll never understand why we want to do good to others, especially sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with them. And they will never understand until they come to believe in him. It's just like this impotent, infirmed man. So here we can see the amazing grace of God saving this man and granting him, saying that he's made whole, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." This man had no friends to bring him to that pool. And what a friend we have in Jesus. And God has his ways. He has his own timing. We just need to have faith in him. Our problems may come, and that may not go away in the way that we wanted it to go away. God has his timing. God has his way. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And therefore, while we are going through that, we pray one for another. And that's why we come to prayer meeting. And that's why we encourage each other to pray and ask God for mercy. And when we pray, whom do we change? We don't change God's will. We change ourselves. We change our own perception to the situation that we are in and say, God, if it is thy will, may we be healed. And if it is thy will, deliver us from that problem, from that challenge in our lives. But nevertheless, let God's will be done. Let us pray. Almighty God, gracious Father in heaven, thank and praise thee for the instruction out of thy word. And our hearts are strangely warmed to know that you love us, you care for us, and nothing that happened in our lives is by mistake. Thou hast a purpose. And even if we have to go through that challenge in our lives a bit longer, help us to endure with patience and with faith. And Lord, if it is thy will for us to be delivered, we praise thy holy name. And help us always to fix our eyes upon the Lord Jesus. Through Jesus Christ, our precious Lord, we give thanks and pray. Amen.